Hi, everyone, and welcome to an episode of Hot Off the Mess. This is a podcast brought to you by The Dip. I am your host, Samantha Bush, and today is Bravo Friday. And I have to tell you, it's been a morning. Very exciting guest we have today. I could get emotional talking about it if I'm being completely honest. She is my number one of all time. Dorinda Medley is here. And when I recorded this with her, she is exactly what you expect her to be and more. Like, she's so lovely, warm, hilarious, so just like down to clown. I love her so much. I normally would cover, obviously, the shows and recap for you guys, but I really feel like this show should be just dedicated to our girl, Dorinda, because I know we all miss her, love her, need her back on our screens immediately. Bravo, if you're listening, what the fuck? If you're revamping New York City, it better include our girl, Miss Medley. I hope you guys enjoy our chat. It's really great. We talked for almost an hour about like the Women's March in DC. We talked about Housewives, Bluestone Manor, of course. Like, we talked everything, and of course a little bit of All Stars chat too. So I hope you guys enjoy the episode, and I'll talk to you guys soon.
So make a nice introduction for Dorinda Medley.
Oh my God.
Make it good. Make it snappy.
Make it snappy. Just like your drinks. You guys, I am here with my favorite housewife of all time. Everybody knows that I ride or die for Dorinda Medley. This is the best surprise. Dorinda Medley is here. Hi.
I am so excited that this happened. I mean, my God, I was at Eli's having a sandwich and drinking a coffee. And I was like, oh my God, I have a 10 o'clock podcast. But I luckily was wearing my Not Well Bitch sweatshirt.
Yes.
And I see that you have a knockoff Not Well Bitch mug, which I told you I'm going to be contacting my trademark lawyer about immediately. You're so proud to show it to me.
You know, I really was. I really was.
And I know that you especially love my Halloween.
Dorinda, that's the scariest thing.
That was me being put on pause last year.
Yeah. Can you describe what that thing is? It's like a dead baby on a horse.
It's a rocking horse.
It's a dead baby. So amazing. So Dorinda, what have you been up to? Like, what's been going on? I know All Stars 2 just filmed.
After I got past my pause,
okay.
The new modern word, I think, for being let go, I don't know. I wrote a book. It's a funny thing. At the time when I was put on pause, I was obviously heartbroken and like, what? But then, like I say in my book, I just kind of got up. And my mother said, you know what? This is a great opportunity. The world is on pause. You can be on pause. Now do something with it. You will look back at this and thank them for this time off. And you know what? It did. It was, first of all, it was a good year to be off the show.
Totally.
You know, I wrote my book, Make It Nice.
Love it. The cover is
very grown up pictures. Don't I look like a grown up?
You look fucking amazing.
And look at that's the late. And I started it off with on pause.
On pause. And it's giving me like Lady Di. Do you get that a lot? That you like are, yeah. I have like a side by side on my Instagram of you and her because you guys have very similar like hair vibes.
Yes. Well, you know, you sell in the book. I actually, you know, we were never good friends, but we, you know, when I lived in London, she, you know, she knew who I was. I knew what she was.
She knew who you were?
Yes. She used to say to me all the time, oh my God, there's my doppelganger.
Stop. Amazing.
At the time, I didn't know what doppelganger meant, but I then quickly figured that. Yeah, because she belonged to the same gym as me, the Harvard Club.
So how long were you living in London? Because I know that when you guys...
Almost 10 years.
Oh my God.
So London for me was really... I wasn't sort of the expat American living in London. I was married to a British guy. So I was... If I had stayed married to Ralph Hanna's father, I would still be in London. So I was really in London. Like I took on the whole thing.
Yeah. You were like, I'm British now.
I bought into it like a line and sinker. I loved it. I have to say it was one of my biggest growing periods. It's where I had Hannah. It's where, you know, we bought our first home. It's where I really traveled, you know, kind of, I was definitely playing grown up before I was a grown up.
I love that. I remember you said that on an episode of New York where you and Carol went back to England. And that is one of my favorite episodes just because I loved seeing you guys together, having like a lot of like good moments.
Yes. But well, that was a special trip because, you know, we didn't have a lot of, Carol and I obviously share the, you know, that death and share the widow's club, as we call it. And I think it was a real great opportunity to audience, because people don't, you know, grief and death and all that is something that really is not comparable to anything. I know we had the whole season, is divorce like death, is death like divorce. And it's just not, until you have a fellow partner in this sort of thing, you're almost uncomfortable talking about it because you don't want to be a big baby and people don't understand the timing on grief. Like, I remember someone said to me just the other day, how long, when does the missing stop? Like, how long does the grief go away? I said, you know, someone once explained it to me so perfectly. I was at Elio's having a drink one night. I was talking to this older woman and I was asking, I said, are you married? And she said, I know, I'm a widow for now 10 years. I said, oh my God, I'm a widow too. She said, well, you're too young to be called a widow. I said, how long before you sort of, yes, you stop feeling that kind of sad. She goes, this is what happens. The grief stays the same, but you grow bigger.
Okay.
Yeah. And then, so every once in a while, you have that moment where you revisit it. So it's always there, but you, if you live your life and you keep moving, you grow bigger. So it doesn't affect you so deeply. And I think that's such a good way of doing it. And to be able to talk to Carol about that, it was just so nice because it was our moment that no one else was privy to.
Yeah, it was such a good moment. And I mean, it was obviously so sad, but
that's where we bonded.
Yeah, I loved watching you and Carol together.
I saw Carol just the other night at the Temple Bar.
Oh my God.
She's great. She looks great. She's aging backwards. She's happy. Carol's just very chic and hip.
She is like the most chic and hip.
Right?
Like, it's kind of unreal.
Effortlessly.
Effortlessly.
Like, I have to put in a lot of effort. Like, I got on my YSL, you know, dress. I've got the hair. I'm all in. Well, she's comes in on like some great jeans with like a really cool shirt. And it's like, I don't get it.
Yeah. Was she the first housewife that when you started filming that you really bonded with right away that you didn't know before? Or who was like the first one that you really...
Well, I knew them all before, except for Carol and Bethany.
Okay.
Yeah, I think Carol was really the first one. We had a lot in common because she, you know, she lived in England for a while. We just have, Carol and I, although she's much more hip and sort of downtown, we have a lot in common as far as our sensibilities go and our kind of life experience. She's in politics, she loved politics, and, you know, I love politics. We tend to be more of the academics of the group, I think.
Yeah, well, that was a huge thing I remember on the show when you guys went to the Women's March in D.C. I was also at that march.
That was, you know, forever. I have to say, for Hannah, to this day, we talk about it. I think when Hannah's an old lady and I'm still young, she still remembers that as one of our most remarkable days. She's like, that's when I really saw you in such a different light. Because, you know, everybody talks the talk, but very few people walk the walk. I found that day so moving and so predictive of the world we were entering in, and the sort of, and I think whatever we went through in all those years is you could look back at it and know that there were people. It was really mind-boggling when we were there.
Unreal.
When you saw the streets, I thought it was going to be straight and we were going to do it. But when you saw the filtering from every vein, every street, you were like, people have a voice. We the people.
Yeah, it was so moving. I was there with my mom in DC for the march, and it was like my favorite experience I've ever had with her. And like, I love my mom. She's my best friend, but it was such a good moment. And one of the things that really struck me being there was how nice everyone was. Like, no, there was no fight. I will never forget. There was a man with a little girl on his shoulders and he was like, she has to go to the bathroom. And he was like in the middle of the crowd. And the crowd just moved for him.
Yeah. I remember talking to Hannah about it, as massive as it was, and it didn't feel disorderly. No. It didn't feel chaotic, and you didn't feel afraid. And I don't do well in crowds.
I don't either.
I felt joyful. I have a picture of me and Hannah just sitting like this at one point, you know, and Carol standing there, and it's just masses of people around. And I can't believe we were there from, I think, 8 in the morning to, I think, 8 or 9 at night.
It went on.
And I don't remember, like, the day went so fast.
Mm-hmm. It was amazing. And so I really loved that you guys showed that on the show. I love that so much.
Well, I think it's nice for the daughters that went with their mothers, because I think it's an opportunity for the daughters to see their mothers as women.
Totally.
Yeah. And that's very important. You know, it's a real great moment when all you get old enough to realize your mother's not just your mother. She's a woman.
Yeah. She's like a woman who's
who has struggles and has to fight for her rights and needs to have a voice. You know, because you just look at, I mean, Hannah said something really funny to me. And she said, I had this weird moment when I was crying about something. And she said, well, don't call grandma because you'll upset her. I said, well, if I can't call my mom, who am I going to call? She said, I had this moment like you have a mom, like I call you, like, but you cry to your mom, because we don't think of our moms as that.
I know.
That way, right?
It's a really weird moment when you realize that your mom is like a person.
Yeah.
That's amazing. Do you still keep in touch with any of the girls from the show?
I keep in touch with most of them. I don't have, you know, unlike a lot of people, I don't have a bad taste in my mouth about my time at Bravo. I think I grew tremendously. We had a hell of a great time. Listen, when I was good, I was great. When I was bad, I was terrible. That's what makes a great housewife, right? People can complain like they don't like it, but they do love it. And it created, I mean, the great thing about working with Bravo is it does give you a platform. I mean, it's a great calling card. I've had so many incredible opportunities. I mean, I don't think I would have written the book, and now I have Bustelo Men of Bourbon out, and I just did a big thing with Amazon. You know, I partnered with Nutrisystem. I had my own candle, the Bustelo Men candle. I mean, it just wouldn't have happened if it weren't for that. And people that pretend like that's not true are lying.
Totally lying. And I think for you, like, it came at such a good time in your life. Like, it really allowed you to kind of like go into something on your own. You were really able to like lean into Bustelo Manor, which is like, I want to stay there. I want to live there.
Yeah, I did the great partnership with Airbnb. That was so fun.
Amazing. And that you were there for All Stars.
I was there for, yes. Oh, we can't talk about it too much.
We can't talk about All Stars.
I gotta tell you something. I think people deeply miss Bustelo Manor. It's become such a sort of urban legend. It's like the Disney of the Berkshires, right?
It's the Disney of Bravo.
You know when you see Cinderella's castle and you're little and then you realize it's not real? Like that's what, I cannot tell you the amount of times I've sat like in the Peacock room and I'll be on a Zoom and people are like, oh, are you at Bustelo Manor? Is that the Peacock? I'm like, well, yeah, because it's a real house and I live here.
Yeah, it's... And for me, there was a season, I think it was season 11, when you guys were at your house for Halloween. And it was like the first time we ever saw Bustelo Manor for Halloween. And I loved it because we had never seen it that way. We'd never seen it in not Christmas time. And I loved it because we got to see you guys swimming in the pool. It was like, you got to see more of the grounds, which are like unreal.
Wow, wait till you see this. This is, I mean, they had like drones and everything. And it's, if I tell you, anybody that comes up to the house, you guys don't really see it. The house is much, you know, it's like 10,500 square feet. It's got 18 acres.
It's huge.
So, you know, there's some pretty wild things we did. And I have it decorated from head to toe for Halloween again this year. Every year I do a theme, and the theme this year is Dracula's dinner party.
That's amazing.
I have like 22 people come Saturday night, and Amazon sort of like did a thing with Ring Doorbell and Alexa, which I'd never worked with before. So now my house is actually a smart house, which is so weird. Have you ever used that, Alexa?
I don't have one, but I know people that do.
It's like you can really get attached to it, I think, if you were a lonely person.
Well, I'm glad I don't have one because I live alone with a cat.
Like the other morning after they set it up, I went downstairs. I was like, it was like 5:30. I wanted to get my coffee. I was like, Alexa, good morning. Good morning, Dorinda. Today the weather is, but I'm like, what?
You're like, oh.
I'm like, yeah. And it, so I don't know. I really like it because you can say, Alexa, turn on, play that funky music, and it just pops on.
I mean, that's amazing. I always say that when you date a guy, how he talks to his Alexa says a lot. Because I've been on dates with guys that like call their Alexa a bitch. And I'm like, that's not nice. That's a red flag. Don't call your robot a bitch.
It's terrible. I think you need to call some sort of abuse hotline for Alexa.
I know.
Alexa, I'm like, abuse hotline.
I know. I'm like, this poor Alexa. Yeah.
Well, any man that talks to anybody like that. You walk out the door.
Are you dating anyone?
I'm trying.
Are you going on dates?
I'm trying. I'm on the league. You know the league?
Oh, the league is elite.
I'm on the league. I actually yesterday downloaded this really cool thing. Just, you should download it just because it's so interesting and fun. It's called, you have to do it. It's called Stars Align. It's an astrology site. But you put all your stuff in it because I kind of love all that kind of stuff.
I do too.
It tells you everything about your moon sign, your this sign, and then it can hook you up with other people that are in your area that have the same. It's kind of wacky, but listen, it's hard. It's hard to date.
It's hard out there, Dorinda, especially in COVID times. And you're a Sag.
I'm a Sagittarian.
You are. What's your?
I like Leos. I've been always attracted to Leos.
Carol's a Leo.
Carol's a Leo. They tend to be strong like my sign. Listen, I don't know if I'm looking. I don't think I want to get, I've been married twice, you know, married, divorced, married, widow, but it would be nice to have a fun companion.
Okay. I could get emotional talking to you because you really mean like so much to me, but I love you so much. And you remind me so much of my mom. Cause that's what she says too. She's like, I don't want to get married. She's like, I just want someone to go to dinner with, like someone to like do dinner.
I want someone to like maybe travel with, make plans. You know, but I, to tell you the truth, I don't know if I could be fully married again. Watch, you never say never, and then it happens. Because, you know, I waited a long time after, you know, I dated John, and then after that, I was like, I'm just very set in my ways, and I like my freedom.
Yeah,
I'm sure your mom does too.
She does.
There's kind of like being able to come and go as you please, and not answer to anybody, especially if you've been a mother and a wife and a caretaker and you've, you know, raised children. It's sort of nice to be very selfish with yourself, but that comes with a cost.
100%. It does. But it's nice to kind of like do what you want. And then like when you get in that routine of doing whatever you want, it's hard to like.
Well, like even today, I was like, you know, I think I'm going to go to the Berkshires. Last night I was like, I'm going to get up early and go to the Berkshires. And I woke up today. I'm like, nah, I just think I'll spend the day in New York and go to the Berkshires tomorrow. Like, you just can move fluidly.
Yeah, it's lovely. I've always been the kind of person too, like where I like being in a relationship, but now I'm like really leaning into being single.
Yeah.
And I'm enjoying it. It's nice.
It's nice because, you know, a lot of people just get in relationships for the idea of the relationship, but I don't know if it's a good partnership. That's very important. It's just, luckily you don't marry them, which is the good news. You know, it's not the dating them that's the bad. It's when you're going to marry them, and then that's the game changer.
Yeah. And do you talk to Bethany at all?
I talk to them all. She's very busy. She's engaged. I saw Leah the other night and Lou, and, you know, Sonia's all over the place. So I don't see Sonia, but we'll text. The only one I really don't really talk to so much is Ramona. Which is sad because we had like a 30-year relationship.
Yeah, you guys had like a deep friendship. Like when you guys went on the show, you would go to Sarah Beth's and like
Even off the show. I mean, I know her through the whole divorce with Mario and all that. But you know, time will tell. I think time has an incredible way of healing things. And also too, you know, sometimes when you're on the show, that can overtake what's really going on in real life. You know, the micro becomes bigger than the macro.
I think I just let things sit. And I think you have a great like viewpoint and outlook on the show. Like you said, like it's like an NFL game. You come on, you're sparring with each other. There's moments, highs and lows. But then at the end of the day, it's like you're doing this together. And it's
And it's, you know what? You gotta you know, people, it's a funny thing. The audience loves to hate you and hates to love you, right? So if you're not making it interesting and fun and sparring and bringing stuff, everyone's mad you're boring. Then if you make it too much, everyone's mad because you made it too much. So it's always this fine balance. And people don't realize that these girls, they film hours and hours and hours and hours and hours. So you may only see 5 minutes of the scene, but we may have been filming for 3 hours.
Yeah. Let's be honest. Ratings and reviews are so important, especially when you're in need of a doctor. You wouldn't go to a restaurant if they only had 1 star, so why go through all of that with a healthcare provider? And after the last year, now is the time to prioritize your health. Whether you need a primary care physician, a dentist, dermatologist, psychiatrist, eye doctor, or other specialists, ZocDoc has you covered. Just download the free ZocDoc app, the easiest way to find a great doctor and instantly book an appointment. With ZocDoc, you can search for local doctors who take your insurance, read verified patient reviews, and book an appointment in person or video chat. Never wait on hold with a receptionist again. ZocDoc makes healthcare easy. Go to ZocDoc.com/HOTM and download the ZocDoc app to sign up for free and book a top-rated doctor. Many are available as soon as today. That's ZocDoc.com/HOTM. What is like the most memorable time for you on the show?
Definitely going to the Berkshires. I loved him. Yeah. I just think some of the greatest scenes were made in the Berkshires. It really was. There was something about it. The Bluestone Manor almost became like an extra character. And you know what was fun?
It did.
The audience got really excited about when they go into Bluestone Manor. So it kind of was the apex of our season. You know what I mean? Like,
always.
We're going to Bluestone Manor.
It was always like such an exciting thing in the previews when we would see like coming up next week, everyone's like in the peacock room or the fish room. Some of the funniest scenes of all time have happened at Bluestone Manor. I think so too. One of them being when Lou and Sonia and Bethany like woke up in the fish room and they were like so hungover and they were just like, is Betty Ford open? And then of course there's like you making it nice.
Running around, making it nice, then getting fed up, then making it nice again, then getting fed up.
Yeah.
It's like a psych ward.
It was so, there was so much going on. There's always so much going on at Bluestone Manor in every room.
Well, you know what was great too that you guys didn't see? The old school, but I don't think they did as much this year when I watched it. Like when they took the cameras down at night, we stayed up.
Mm-hmm.
Like we treated it like we were in college. You know, I think there's a little bit of that missing. Like the cameras come down and we'd be like, all right, slap on the music, break out there. We would dance. So when we were hungover the next day, wasn't because of what we filmed. It was because what we did for the hours after.
I love that because it really like, it makes it feel more real.
It bonded us.
Yeah.
And I feel like they didn't do as much of that this year.
So you watched this season?
Yes.
What are your thoughts?
Listen, I think it was a really tough season to film.
It was tough. And I always say, I don't think it was any one woman's fault. I think it was more of just like, they filmed during COVID in New York City. Like that's a really hard
thing. Yes. And I just think, you know, I think it was a difficult year to take me off of it, you know, because there was too much going on in the world. And then for me to be off of it, then they had to deal with that. So that was another, then they didn't have sort of Bluestone Manor. So that was another. So it was a lot for the audience, I think.
It was a big change. And I don't think people were ready for all of that at once because New York City is like the crown jewel of Housewives.
Well, and you got to remember, New York is a valid character in our life. So we have New York City, but New York City is our backdrop. So when you remove New York City, it's a character. Yeah. We eat here. We play here. We walk here.
It was a tough season.
Did you read the book?
I have your book. I've read it. It's amazing.
Well, I just, you know, I think it really helped it helped me. And I think it helped the audience understand the why, you know, people think they knew me. When you're on a reality show, people think your sort of life starts and ends with it. They don't realize, as I say, you know, life is like a big It's a quilt with a series of patches. And, you know, being on Bravo was one of the patches. And then you have all these other patches that make collectively this beautiful thing called your life. And I just wanted to fill in the blanks for the audience. Like, why are this, you know, people can be judgmental. You're like, I had it so easy, or you're this, or you're that. And I wanted to take people on the journey of the girl during the Sincala that really grew up, you know, middle class in Great Barrington with mm-hmm. a lot of hopes and dreams, to the woman that stands in front of you today. And not just all the positives and the pretty, but some of the not so pretty colors in my quilt. And I was hoping that, you know, people got, you know, they say there's the frosting and then there's the cake, right? Mm-hmm. And I wanted people to understand the cake, you know, and not to see the pretty frosting.
Yeah.
I hope it empowers people to let them know that, you know, if you want something bad enough, if you fight for something bad enough, it may take longer than you think to get there, but you can get there in the end. And if you don't get there in the end, you're probably somewhere you should be anyway.
Yeah. It all happens for a reason. And I really hate that cliche, but it's so true.
It's true.
It
you know
is
what
true.
They say? You know, my mother used to say all the time to me, I used to love it. She'd say, well, you know, life is like this. Think about it like this. You get on a plane and you're supposed to go to Paris, but you wake up and you've landed in Italy. Learn Italian.
Yeah.
You may not end up in France, but Italy's not so bad.
You have to just roll with it. And I think like that's what I love so much about you and Carol is like, you guys have like such beautiful stories like of your life. Like you guys both like have gone through so much and have come out so strong because of it.
And you know, we wouldn't have, as tough as it was, we wouldn't be who we were today. And it does make you strong when you have to go through things and you do realize the bigger picture, like who gives a shit, like really at the end of it.
Yeah.
To put it philosophically, who gives a shit?
So philosophical. Okay. I know you can't talk too much about All Stars, but so you didn't know any of them really that well before?
Yeah, I knew, you know, the thing about the Bravo family is we all kind of know each other because we always end up at events, but to actually live with people for 8 days, you know, you don't know a person until you're doing breakfast, lunch, dinner, you know what I mean?
Right.
Yeah. And we all are quirky and I definitely run Bluestone Manor a certain way, you know what I mean?
That's like your baby. I mean, I love the story about your dad. Like you would say to him, like, that will be mine one day. Like that was
a house dream.
Yeah. I love that.
And my great grandfather was a mason who worked on it, and my grandfather. So, you know, for me, Bluestone Manor is like a living, breathing thing. Like I cherish it. It really, I consider it my home. I love New York, but I feel like when I go to Bluestone Manor, I feel like that's where I'm most creative. That's where I'm most centered. I feel sort of most spiritually bonded up there.
Mm-hmm.
It's just sort of my happy place. I always say to Hannah, if I ever got, God forbid, sick, I'd want to be up there just every day and sit outside and just take in all the healing energy.
Yeah. And I think that was what was missing on your last season of New York is like, people really didn't understand what had happened with the house.
And I don't think they showed enough of it.
I don't think they did either.
I mean, I had $1 million worth of damage. And running up there trying to get it ready for the girls to come filming, running up there. And it really was, and I was breaking up with John, and I'd broken my rib. But, you know, it just was one of, you know, I think the thing for me, and this is probably the most I've ever said to anyone about that. I think the thing that was sad about for me is everybody has good seasons and everybody has bad seasons. I felt like I deserved the opportunity to have everybody, believe me, we can go down the list of all the housewives.
Yeah.
And I thought it was just a weird
theory
not to have the opportunity to come back. But in the long run, I think it was the best thing that happened for both sides. Because I don't know if I would have wanted to film in COVID. I think it would have been very hard. And you got to understand too, I am and was very COVID freaked out. Because I was taking care of my parents. So I was very COVID careful. Like I did not travel. I didn't take it lightly.
You weren't in Miami.
It would have been difficult. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like I was like, the world is ending.
Yeah. Like you were taking it seriously as a lot of people should have.
Yes. And I was so, because, you know, I have my older parents. My mother's a cancer survivor. My father's older. I just knew that if, you know, something like, well, we didn't know. And that was the scary thing for me. So I was very happy keeping my world very tiny, very tight, very small, very rule driven, but I do well in that. And that was hard, you know, that was hard because there was a lot of people that weren't.
Yeah, a lot. Too many. That's why we're kind of still in this like weird limbo. So my last question will be, do you see yourself coming back to New York as a housewife?
You know, you never say never. I think they're going through a lot of changes. I think that they're trying to figure it out themselves. Mm-hmm. It's not up to me. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's very funny to be in New York City in the fall and not having New York filming.
Yeah. Because that was like when you guys would film every time. Right. It was like Halloween, Thanksgiving.
Fall was our jam. You know what I mean? Like there was New York and there was the housewives filming in New York in the fall. So that's funny. So it'd be interesting to see when they're going to, I don't even know when they're going to film again.
I know. I haven't heard anything like what I think they're like really taking a pause.
We hear, but we don't hear anything. Once we're done with our contract, you know, we're just as much all outsiders again. You know, there's no guarantee anyone's ever coming back. Do you think everybody will come back? What's your thought?
I don't know. I personally love Sonia, but I'm ready for her to move on maybe or be a friend just because it's like, it's the same story. Like I need her to grow. With you, there was growth even with Luann, like she's gone through like ups and downs. Like there's always been something.
And I'm going to tell you something, Luann, I saw Luann and like, she looks stunning.
She's so beautiful.
Yeah. It's I think crazy. Luann's more beautiful now than she's ever been.
She looks amazing.
I mean, she always was beautiful, but there's something, I don't know if it's a combination of she looks great, she's thin, and she's just feeling very in a good place. You know, that shows. Mm-hmm. She's just a good character, a growing character. No, but I know what you mean. It's going to be so interesting. Listen, I'm as intrigued as you are, like what's going to happen next. Because they could swipe the whole thing and start fresh. And just keep the young girls.
I don't know if I would want that.
Yeah, well, that's the problem.
Yeah.
But also, like, too, if like you bring back people and you bring back the oldies and you bring back this, that you're right. They got to move with the story because there's certain things that we just can't keep doing anymore.
And I mean, you even, like, they're saying it.
Guys still be an interesting character.
Are you serious? We need you back. That's why I'm so excited that you're doing All Stars.
Well, let's see. All right, I'm going to go. I love talking to you.
Let us know where everyone can find you.
Oh, yeah, buy my book.
Yes.
Where books are sold. Amazon, everywhere books are sold. Barnes & Nobles, SimonandSchuster.com. And get excited because my Booster Man of Bourbon's coming out and my Booster Man of Candle. And my favorite thing is I have a Bluestone Manor maple syrup that is to die for.
Oh, my
God. It's so good. You're going to see it on the show because I have a very famous thing I do at Bluestone Manor. It used to be Hannah's favorite things. Instead of a sundae bar, I would make little pancakes. I'd make a pancake bar with every topping known to man.
Oh, that's so cute.
You know, nothing's more fun than to make your own pancakes, right? Yeah. I still like doing it, right?
I can't wait. It was so good talking to you. Yes.
Well, tell your mom I said hi.
Oh, she listens to this podcast. She'll be so excited.
Yes. Hi, Mom. What's her name?
Mary.
Mary, it's Dorinda here, and I hear that you make it nice too.
Oh my God, yes. Thank you guys so much for listening. I hope you all enjoyed my little chat with our girl Dorinda. And remember, we have new episodes every Tuesday, which are pop culture related, and every Friday is Bravo Friday. And this podcast is brought to you by The Dip. So for 20% off at thedip.com, use code HOTM. That is HOTM. And I say this every week, but I am a words of affirmation person. It is my love language. So if you could rate, review, and subscribe, check out the other amazing podcasts brought to you by The Dip as well. There's TV Watch Repeat, Pop Chase, Exposed. If you are a Drag Race fan, it's amazing. So make sure you check those out, and I'll see you guys around on the gram. Bye.